this is Austin, Texas, coming at you to bring you the conspiracy of Area 51. Now, I know that I have talked about this personally over many, many times. I talked about it in my alien special. But my perspective has changed. My perspective has changed. And I want you guys to know how much it's changed. So, my belief about Area 51 is that it is non-existent. I mean, why would they want to hide a place like that so much if it were real? I mean, if they're testing awesome things that could give us technological advances, why would they hide it? I mean, we're not the most advanced nation anymore, you know? So I believe that our government really wants us to get ahead. So they haven't come out with Area 51 as being real, because it's not real. It's a myth. They made it originally because they thought that it would, you know, boost us. They thought that the idea of a secret place where we experiment nukes and we experiment alien products, basically, and make them into technology of our own. You know, there was an airplane that was spotted. That's called the Aurora. And, well, I don't know if it's pronounced that way. It could be Aurora. But anyways, it travels really, 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 really fast. And, you know, it's supposed to be undetectable by radar. So, think about that. I mean, they're shoving these things in our faces. But they're not telling us the source. I believe that they're just not telling us the shorts in the source. They're not telling us the source. They're telling the Russians, the Chinese, possibly the Japanese, which, you know, I really feel they're in a bad predicament right now. So, I dedicate this episode to Japan. So, I feel that Area 51 does not exist, because how could something exist without proof? I mean, all they have is a fence that says, if you're not permitted, you will be shot. Well, I haven't heard of a story of someone who's actually came out of there. You know, heard a story like, oh, I was in Area 51, man. There was some crazy stuff there. But, you know, I can understand that could be debated. Like, oh, well, if they do tell it, the government will, like, decline it straight off the bat. You know, the person will probably be killed or silenced, you know, in a way. And, you know, he probably has to sign, like, a contract saying, oh, I didn't see anything here, you know, to go to my day-to-day life having seen these things. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's not ridiculous to ask for, but it's definitely one of those things that's like, oh, you expect me to come out of this seeing what I've seen and just forget about it. Okay. But I believe that there is something bigger out there. I believe that Area 51 is a lie to that accidentally got to us. They were originally supposed to send that out to the Russians during the time where it mattered, that we were ahead in the space race, and we actually got a man on the moon. And you know, I just do not think that is real. I mean, if anybody can email me, can communicate to me in some sort of way that they have witnessed Area 51, they have seen the actual building, they have seen, you know, all the materials, they've seen the plans and all that stuff, then they can go ahead and tell me. I'm not going to judge. I'm just saying that I personally have not heard or seen enough proof to believe that it exists. I mean, video games are based off of it. Oh, video games are based off of Candyland too, so, you know, and can't say that all video games are based off real things, because they're not. I mean, take one of the most awesome realistic games out there, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. It even has its flaws. One headshot is supposed to kill you, not just get me a hit marker. I'm pretty sure that a headshot can kill anybody. But it's a game, so you know, you can't really expect too much. I mean, if you get, you know, I could shoot them like 50 times, and they still don't die in the game, but realistically, they're probably going to die. And it doesn't take into the account of internal organs, but never mind, I don't want to get into this because, I don't know, I've been defeated in this little debate once before. So, I believe that there is no Area 51, because where's the proof? Where's the proof? If there is proof, I have not seen it, I have not heard it, so therefore, I can stamp that as a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy made by our government to trick not us. See, most conspiracies involve tricking the people of the United States, you know, manipulating them or something. No, this time, it's the government tricking other governments. They're going that far now. They're not after us now. They're not after us in the U.S. They're after them and the other countries. You know, they want to feel powerful. They want to feel like, oh yeah, you got that secret place? Well, we have a place called Area 51. They make games off this place. You know, they're supposed to be aliens, you know. If your helmet gets cracked, you can turn into one of them. You know, it's a sketchy thing. Sketchy thing. Having talked about how Area 51 is non-existent, I feel that we should talk about something not so unrelevant to the modern society, to the vast majority of people that live out there. So now, I feel like we should add a little twist to the direction of this episode. Now, I want you guys to think about a candy that, you know, you may have given your kids. If you're a kid, maybe you've had, or if you're around, like, teenager, that you had when you were a kid. They're called Ring Pops, or Bling Ring, or Ring Pops, Bling Pops. Are those little suckers that you put on your finger, middle finger, index finger, ring finger, pinky finger, thumb, wherever your nubby little hands would fit. And, you know, you wouldn't eat the little sucker. Well, those are a conspiracy. Those are replicating diamonds, you know. There's the ring, and then there's the huge diamond. I believe that it is turning all our little boys into pimps. And the little girls, you know, the little girls out there, it's teaching them how big, nice, shiny things can make them happy. Big, you know, big diamond-shaped objects can, you know, make them happy. And I think that this is on purpose. It's not coincidental. It's not like, oh, it's just to make them look cool, you know, to pretend that they have a diamond ring. No. So first I'll tell you why it's a conspiracy against the young boys that eat them. So, you know, I don't know if a lot of you know about the pimping business. You know, I myself don't know too much about the pimping business. But I can tell you that based off video games and movies, the pimping ain't easy. And sometimes they have to slap hoes, aka hookers, aka prostitutes. Which, you know, wouldn't be all too bad. But that's illegal, except in Grand Theft Auto. That game, it's only illegal if you do it in front of a cop. But anyways, back to the point. It's teaching them that shiny, you know, diamond-like things can make you feel powerful, you know. It's not, It's not homosexual to wear a ring on your finger, as long as you're pimp. And I believe that's the message that it's conveying to those people. I know that, you know, just because you have a ring problem doesn't mean that you're going to automatically be a pimp. But I think that's the message they're trying to send. You know, that's the only way that guys can wear rings that big without seeming like homosexual. So they're going to be a pimp and say like, oh, look at this solid gold diamond. It reminds me of my days when I had the bling pops, the ring pops. I can't remember what they're called. You know, and that's why I think that those are a really big conspiracy that are targeting the youth of our children. And not just our children, our children's children. They are conveying the message that these huge rings, diamond-shaped objects that make you happy can still make you happy if you go out and buy the real thing. But you know, they do. You know, I could honestly say if I had a huge diamond ring with that big of a diamond, I'd probably wear it around and be like, yeah, yeah, look at it. Look at this. And then, you know, I'd say, oh, here, this is my pimp ring. See? Example one right there. Boom. Now, I want to talk about how it affects the little ladies out there. So, you know, you get your daughter, or you, the little daughter, get the ring pop. And you're like, oh, this, I like suckers, and I like ring-shaped things, so I'll get this. And then, you know, you're like, I like this. It makes me feel happy, you know. I like eating suckers. They taste good. So then, you know, maybe when they're older, they see, like, a bling pop. You know, they have it again. They're like, oh, I remember how happy these made me feel. Boom, K Jewelers has a discount on awesome rings. They look, they're like, oh, I want that. They spend money. Boom. This company is allied with jewelers, so that women all over the country go to their place, like K's, you know, all these weird places, whatever the main manufacturing for rings is in your local area, the Bling Pops company is making money off of them. Because they're making it so that, you know, these little girls go out in the world and they remember, oh, look at that right there. That ring reminds me of when I was 7 and would go to the gas station and get those Bling Pops. You know, it's like that. And that's kind of resembles how, you know, some people say that smoking became a really large problem in a certain generation that I can't really remember the name of. But it was, you know, the generation had, like, those little candy cigarettes. The ones that weren't really candy, they were just shaped like cigarettes. And when you'd eat them, they kind of tasted like chalk with sugar. I've had one before, and I don't know. I felt like I should color with them instead of eat them. And maybe it really was chalk with a little bit of sugar on it. But anyways, my point aside, I think that it's basically the same concept where they take something, replicate it in some edible form, you know, get it a little tasty so that, you know, you remember how good it felt to have that, and then you are trapped. You know, you'll see an object that resembles that, and then you'll buy that object, and then there comes the pimping or the neediness of having that ring. Boom. Conspiracy handled. Thank you, Austin, Texas. So, now, having talked about ring pops, having talked about Area 51, so we have the not real, the real, and now I want to talk to you guys about the possible. You know, people don't take into account of it, and you know, I know that Boston, Massachusetts has talked about this before, but I think that it needs to be stated in not such a, oh, well, I need to extend the time of my episode. I want to talk to you guys about not only the possibility, but the aftermath, the effects, all the jazz about nuclear war. And not nuclear, I don't know where people got that. I think George Bush said it before, but, I don't know. I just thought it was weird how people say nuclear. I mean, how does it even sound like nuclear? Nuclear. Nuclear. I don't know. Even looking at it, like, N-U-C-L-E-R-E-A-R, my bad. And then N-U-C-U-L-A-R, nuclear, 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 E-R. It just doesn't look right. But anyways, enough about the pronunciation. The possibility of a, nuclear war, where, countries are launching nukes at each other, boom. I believe it's about a 40% chance. Once the nations, like all major nations, have, discovered and, manufactured products of, the nuclear bomb type, then, people are going to start making some threats. Like, I don't mean to insult anybody on this, but the whole war in Iraq, I think, and Afghanistan, just basically in the Middle East, is all too unnecessary. But, I do understand that war, war, little battles, conquests, things like that, those are, things that fund nations. And, people say that we're in a recession. I personally don't know. I don't pay for the stuff. But I believe that if nations in the Middle East, like Iran, Iraq, all those countries, if they get nuclear weapons, the first thing they're going to demand is that we leave. Because, they don't want us there. Plain and simple. If we all just left, I bet you terrorism in the United States would probably skyrocket downward. Let's say that it's a rocket and it's lifting up, just getting worse and worse. Oh, wait, no, oh, we left. Oh, pff, that spaceship just crashed and blew up. You see? That's a little too ironic that it, never mind. But yes, I believe that terrorism would probably go down if we left. I mean, we don't really need to be there. I understand that, some people have taken it to this, take it into the perspective that if we do not leave, then, we're making money, but we're making people angry. And then we're losing soldiers. And then I know the perspective of people saying that if we do leave, then we look like wimps. But we don't look like jerks that are staying in a land that we don't need to be in. And, like I just said, a lot less people would die. So, you really have, those arguments and those positives about it. But other than that, I really can't say too much. I mean, I appreciate the soldiers being there. I appreciate everything that this country has been doing for us for the many, many years that I've been around. And, that's all I can really say about it. But all I'm saying is that alone causes a pretty good chance of a nuclear, maybe not war, but just a little battle, where one country launches a nuke and the other one does the same. Which might suck, because, the nuclear blast alone is enough to, just be devastating on a city, country, wherever it may be. I mean, if a nuke hit New York City, I don't even want to know how much crap we'd be in. If it hit in D.C., if a nuke hit in, basically any capital in this country. And I know that Seattle isn't the technical capital of Washington, but, if a nuke hit there, that'd be just devastating. But know, any city, almost any city in California, New York, I don't know. I'm just saying that the blast alone is devastating. But then, you know, you have fallout. You have, like, all the radiation. And, you know, the people that do survive it, you know, have, like, are devastated, basically. Like, if they probably lost a lot of family, they probably have, like, barely any chance of survival. And, you know, it's going to be tough. And then you have to take into the economical, economical damage that it did. I mean, think of how much money it's going to take to have to rebuild a city. And then, you know, get help for all the survivors. But, you know, we may not even need to rebuild the city, because if it takes out enough people, those people are probably going to move and not want to be there again. You know, if my town got nuked and I survived, most likely I wouldn't stick around, because then, you know, you just have, I don't know, it just would be like a haunting memory. But then there are people who might stay, because, you know, they'll say, well, they nuked this place once, why did they nuke it twice? It's kind of like how they say lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place. Why would they bomb a place they've already bombed? You know, which kind of sucks. And, but my honest possibility of a nuclear war ever happening is about 45%. Because, you know, day to day, your enemies can switch. I mean, during the early, I think, Cold War times, we allied with Afghanistan, you know, not really, you know, openly allied with them, but we trained them, we trained some soldiers of theirs to, you know, fight against the Russians. We gave them, like, guns to fight Russian helicopters, Russian soldiers, because they were getting slaughtered. And, you know, and that action alone was a lot to do with the end of the Cold War. Well, basically. And, you know, I think that this is a really crucial thing to think about, because now we're in Afghanistan and we're not their friends, you know. And it's been said to me before that we trained Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan. You know, he was trained by the CIA to be, you know, like to outsmart Russians, to be the tactical kind of person. And now we've trained him too good. He is either dead, really well hidden. He may even be hidden in our society, hidden in some other society. And, you know, we're probably never going to find him. And if we do, I don't know. I honestly do not think that our government even wants to find him. Because, I mean, we have a lot of money, we have a lot of power. And, you know, maybe that little suspense that, oh, this guy got out. He is so lucky. You know, I don't know. I really do not know, but I think that it just gives them money, basically. You know, it gives them another reason to stay on Iraq, which then, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan, basically the Middle East. You know, so they're going to take that to their full advantage. We need to find Osama, the terrorist threat. Al-Qaeda. The Islamic Brotherhood. You know, things like that. And, you know, to be honest, I really do not care about the whole, you know, Islamic and Christianity grudge. You know, I just see it as another kind of extremisms battling each other for basically no reason. I mean, you know, our societies are different, but that's why we're not the same country. And that's why the United States is not called Saudi Arabia. That's why Saudi Arabia is not called New England, or England, or Canada, you know, things like that. That's why there are different cultures, to where people can express themselves the way that they want and the way that they see fit. And if they wanted to have some sort of different religion, then that's their culture. Now, there could be a whole society of people who think eating chickens is the wrong thing to do. You know, they can only eat pork or only eat vegetables, or maybe they can only eat grass. But I just don't think that religion is an important enough thing to cause wars. And, you know, it's not really related. You know, I don't think World War II had anything to really do with religion, other than the fact that Hitler did not like Jews. And, you know, that brings me to another topic. You know, it's not a conspiracy topic, it's just something I want to talk about. I personally hate, you know, I'm not saying this because, you know, oh, anybody who says this is just a giant douche. But I personally hate people who make fun of Jewish people, you know, who think, oh, I hate Jewish people, I'm suddenly cool. You know, and I'm not even Jewish, you know, I just think that it's just a retarded thing to do. I mean, that's basically like making fun of black people because, you know, they're black. Oh, they're Jewish. What's wrong with Jews? I don't know, they're just Jewish. I mean, I walk around and I hear kids go like, oh, that's so Jewish, man, why are you doing that? I was like, you're stupid. I mean, it's just a stupid thing, and, you know, anybody who still says that's the kind of stuff, it just lacks some brain power. But back to it, I don't think that, other than that, I mean, Hitler, he had his things. He, to me, he kind of replicates the very, very far extremity of how you can take your hatred of one religion, one group of people, to the max. And, you know, if things aren't going to get any better in the Middle East, if things aren't getting better here in the U.S., because it's not all about the Middle East, we obviously have some issues here. I mean, if we're still there for some unknown reason, then that's why they're pissed. So, I believe that if it's not controlled, if it's not taken care of soon, or, you know, some sort of resolution isn't made, then basically the same thing might happen. A war started because one group hated another group, which is a really retarded thing to do. I mean, in the U.S. history, we've had the Revolutionary War, where our country fought for its independence, which was, you know, the only real war with another country we've had on our soil. And then there's, you know, the Civil War, which, you know, was basically, you know, it wasn't all about this, but it was basically about civil rights, you know, fighting for the quote, freedom of slaves. Which, you know, that's cool, but again, it's basically one society, one group of people that doesn't agree with one group of people's ways, which kind of relates to the religion thing. So, there's that. And, you know, World War I and II, I don't think we really fought in World War I. If we did, I don't know too much about it. But World War II, I don't know. We fought in it, but it's just one of those wars I can't really comment on because I don't really know the war too much. I mean, I know that we went there. We, you know, helped a lot along with our allies, and we were successful in crushing the rise of the Third Reich. But, you know, as far as I know, that's all. And I don't know, it just seems like a really stupid thing, you know. The cause of it was one man who, I wouldn't say duped or tricked, but basically manipulated a large community of people into believing the way he did. And, you know, that's just how society can go. I mean, I bet if one man was convincing enough, Which, you know, there are certain people that can probably be very convincing. And, you know, tell us that this is the way things are. Which, you know, which is a pretty bad thing. But, at the same time, it could be considered a good thing, you know. As I said before, war causes profit. You know, when we won World War II, well, quote, we won the World War II, we basically got out of the Depression. It sped production up, it sped jobs up, because, you know, we needed more supplies. And the only problem with that, you know, that in the present, is that we don't really have any money to do that. I mean, that with this recession and, you know, all this, you know, governmental stuff happening, I don't think that we could, unless we need to come out of this to where we're in a better state, if that's the correct term. And then, you know, from there, maybe, but I'm not a war supporter, but I'm not like a, you know, some pansy that thinks, oh, this is the way to go. But let's not do this in a violent way. Let's just hold hands, join a circle of hands, and let's all be friends, and sit around the fire and sing songs, pluck the banjo. Anyways, I believe that there are times for war, and there are times for peace. This is one of those times where I think peace is the better option. I don't think seeking war right now is one of the great options for the world, basically. I mean, all a war could do right now is spark hate, spark change, which, you know, might be a good thing, but it may not be positive change, which is a problem. Saying that, I think that we personally, like as a country, I personally believe that soon, you know, maybe not even this decade, maybe later this century, or maybe after this century, you know, maybe even next year, I don't think that we're going to be a superpower for long. But I believe that our reign as a superpower, as a young nation especially, I mean, we're not too old of a nation. I believe that we have earned our place in the history books, that we have, you know, we've deemed ourselves, and maybe even deemed ourselves with others, you know, others have deemed us worthy of being in the history books, because, I mean, I don't mean to boast, I don't mean to brag, but we landed on the moon first with a man. You know, the Russians technically landed on the moon first, but we did it with, you know, a man. And then, you know, there's just a whole bunch of things that we have contributed to society. You know, we've had our negatives, and we've had our positives, you know. We're not too bad, and we're not too good. So we're kind of that middle. We're kind of like a neutral nation, basically. But, you know, soon I think our nation will have run its course through superpowers, and soon it won't be a superpower. Soon we'll just be a nation. We won't be a leader in anything. We'll be like a follower. We won't be like so powerful. We won't be like the number one exporter, the number one importer, the number one seller, the number one taker. I think that soon our reign as a supernation, as a nation, a national superpower, will end. And, you know, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, you know. It's not really a good thing, but it's not a horrible thing. It may be to some people, because some people need that sort of thing to boost their very high egos, but I don't think so. So anyways, I had better get going. So, this has been Austin, Texas, with the Boston Files. And please visit our site, thebostonfiles.wordpress.com. Your support and views are very much appreciated. This has been Austin, Texas, signing off.